Delighted to welcome into the studio again Mr. Frederik Genter, who's the head of Extended Monaco. How are you, Frederik?
I'm very well. Thank you for having me again.
No problem. It's been difficult times for everybody. How are you getting on?
Well, like everyone, we are trying to make the most of the crisis. It's very difficult for everyone in the world. It's difficult for the Principality of Monaco, but the government is trying to help go through the pandemic and also be ready for the world going after all, especially in terms of digital usage, digital economy.
You've already told us about the Extended Monaco project, but for those who might not have heard it, just remind us what it is.
Yeah, so the Extended Monaco is a program, a holistic program, which is dedicated to obtain two objectives. First, to make Monaco economy powerful and a winner in the world of today's digital world, and to increase our quality of life in every single aspect: education, health, smart city, relationship to the administration with digital. That's the two objective, and so my department is tackling every single topic on this, from infrastructure to business development. We are trying to obtain those two objectives that were delivered by His Serenitas in April 2019, when he launched Extended Monaco, that is supported by the Minister of State. He, on the 9th of September, the Minister of State gave a speech about his vision of Extended Monaco and how it's one of the major priority for the government and that we are operationally implementing.
And what are the latest developments you can tell us?
So the latest developments, I would go through different things. First, in terms of daily life, we have providing new services for the population of Monaco. Now you can pay for your kids when they go to lunch at school. It can be paid online. Now you can have your car revised and pay for your car revision and book it online. 15,000 cars are revised every year. The administration used to deal with 5,000 checks per year. Now the Monegasque, or the people who live in the domain, can have an application to pay and to know all about the information needed. So there's been a lot of help in the everyday life, but we also have an ambitious vision for the economy. We are going to invest 20 million euros to help Monaco companies digitalize. So we are launching a training cycle in the coming months to be sure that every single Monaco professional is trained on digital. And at the same time, we are happy to help them go through digital transition via financing part of the projects.
In terms of COVID-19, what role has Extended Monaco got in helping citizens to negotiate and find their way through the mess that we're in?
I think During the lockdown period, the program was at the center of everything and was key in five aspects. The first one was the ability for the government, for the administration to work. We launched in 2019 a teletravail program that has been tested in 2019. We modified the law, we equipped them, we gave them the tools, we gave them the training, and almost every single public servant that asked for it has had the ability and the training and the tools to do work from home. So that was a great anticipation that enabled the administration to work. Then there was all the support to the company who were, of course, suffering during this very difficult period, both for the workers who were benefiting from financial heads as they couldn't work, and the companies who were suffering because of their lacks of sales. So all that was done free digitally. Asking for the money, sending the money, treating the demand was done free digitally. Then the education, I mean, the kids couldn't go to school. So we implemented in a couple of weeks a full teledistancing school program and homeschooling and we really turned our education in capacity to go free digital. Same goes for health. Before the COVID-19 pandemic, the law forbid the ability to do teleconsultation, so to speak to a doctor via digital means. It was allowed and enabled as the government equipped more than 50% of the doctors in Monaco, and more than 5,000 teleconsultations were done in the principality. And last but not least, as your media communication. The only way to communicate to the people were digital. We launched COVID-19.mc that could answer every single question people were asking. I'm a parent, what should I do? I'm a worker, what should I do? I'm a public servant, should I do this and that? And we had more than 100,000 visitors coming during the pandemic. So Extending Monaco enabled the principality to go through the critical aspect of what's need for a country to work and for companies to work, and where was the enabler that helped Monaco go through the pandemic.
5G has been in Monaco for quite some time now. Presumably that's helped to enhance the project.
So 5G was here. So now 5G, we are really trying to tackle the potential of 5G. We have a few examples of the impact of 5G. First, the firemen. So today, the fire department, they have the capacity to send drones before people to analyze via video and via thermic vision the how a fire is doing, what are the implications, and that helps a lot. And with 4G, it was impossible in terms of power of real-time data analysis. Second, free Wi-Fi. Today, in our bus stops, we have the capacity to provide free Wi-Fi and powerful Wi-Fi via 5G. It's done in all Monaco. Without 5G, it would have been fiber, and it would have needed a lot of construction work and then more traffic jam and more issues. So 5G has helped for that. We are starting a test with buses to make sure that with 5G, buses are connected and they can always get the green light. So we can push, I would say, soft mobility solution instead of people taking cars. So this is also a reality in Monaco. Now, I'm sure you've heard the news last week. The new iPhone 5G is going to be launched. It should be between tomorrow and next week in Monaco. And I think that the people now are going to experience in their own home the full potential of the government strategy, an Extending Monaco strategy. They're going to see that one of the major issues, which was connectivity, is going to be solved with 5G when they're in mobility. And next year, when we finish to deploy fiber, we hope that by mid of next year, Monaco will be fully at the top of the top in terms of connectivity. And that was one of the objectives of Extending Monaco. And today with 5G, with the new iPhones, 8 people in Monaco, 80% of them have iPhones. And next year with fiber, we're going to solve the connectivity issue. And we're very proud of it.
And the advantage of 5G actually is that if people are still using 4G, it's going to free up some network space as well.
Yeah, for sure. It's going to free up some networks. Also, 5G consume less energy than 4G. Today, 5G consume 3 to 4 less energy to consume the same volume of data that 4G was doing. So we are very happy that we can match the environmental needs we're trying to push with an increase in technology. Of course, it's going to free some network. Of course, it's going to enable us to, as data usage is increasing massively, and it was the case during the lockdown, if things like that happen, we're going to be prepared. People will not suffer from bad connection. The other leg which we're trying to bring is fiber, and that will happen as well next year. And I think we'll be in extremely good shape. I think a lot of countries are struggling today with connectivity, with what they call the digital issue, the fact that connectivity is breaking societies in two. I think Monaco, for our citizens, for our residents, for our future residents, will be extremely attractive by guaranteeing a higher connectivity than everywhere else.
You'll be wanting visitors to benefit from Extended Monaco as well. How are you going to spread the word so that when people come into the principality, they can get guides to shops, restaurants, that kind of thing?
So we are really working and trying to help the private sector. For example, Carlo is an application that has been developed to help people find the restaurant, but also buy and get some cash back and help the economy. the government will support this initiative by end of this year, because the money allowed to the civil servants for those who want will be available on Carlo. But there is definitely a motivation to help this kind of real life project. So Carlo is an example where the government will try to channel some money to help a local platform. The Fonds Bleu, so the government initiated a Fonds Bleu by, as I said before, with 20 million euros. It will be used by to help the development of local platform as well. Platform can help need, as you said, with the restaurants, with to find the right topics, to help restaurants deliver at home also meals, to be able to help local payments. So we are really very conscious that efforts needs to beneficiate to local economy. And this is something we are really, really value. So we definitely know that we need a local digital economy. That's why we are investing part of the Fonds Bleu.
And do you want to use Extended Monaco to attract more businesses to the principality as well? How's that going?
So it's going well. So as you know, we partnered with Euronext, the leading operator of stock exchange, to create a platform that, when the government agrees, they will enable fundraising. From a special form of fundraising. So it's a platform that is using blockchain. The government will accept some projects that are aligned with the Prince value, using clean tech, tech for good, to go and fundraise on this platform. And in exchange of using this platform, which is a Monégasque platform, companies will have to establish here. We have today 2 to 3 projects that are very mature. I'm speaking about companies that are that having millions of euros of revenues per year that could bring employment here. We are, by end of the year, we should at least bring 2 new, and by early 2021, we hope to bring 2 or 3 additional. So it takes some time. We were very happy also to welcome some 5G companies using 5G. Visua 3D, for example, is a company that came to Monaco for developing its product on 5G with real-time 5G. So when the market in other countries will be ready, their product will be already used to 5G. So 5G, we welcome some new companies. We have now many companies coming to Monaco to use 5G. We are going to have big companies coming for the Euronext thing. So we are very happy that the Extended Monaco value proposition is attracting a company. We hope to bring with all these things 10 new companies per year, which could consider to 100 to 150 new jobs with this mechanism. And so that's something we are really trying to move forward.
It's good of you to come in, Frederick. I know you're busy. How can people find out about Extended Monaco? Where's the best place to go?
We have a website. So both in French and English, every content is traduced. So extendedmonaco.mc. So I'm very happy to welcome everyone. We have a Facebook page. We have a Twitter account. We have a LinkedIn account. So we are very happy to welcome English speakers, especially on the website, to get all the information. We have communicated also a lot on the Fonds Bleu, and we are very happy for British or English-speaking company to use the Fonds Bleu. And of course, you have Radio Riviera when you get some, and we're very thankful of you to welcoming me today. I'm very happy to be able to discuss to our English-speaking community, which are key for the principality. So I'm very happy to involve them and for them to be part of Extended Monaco. And I'm sure they're going to be able to benefit from the new services we're going to launch in health. It will be fully traduced in English. And the rest, we are really focused on being able to be traduced in English. But extendedmonaco.mc is really the place where and Riviera Radio people can get insight on Extended Monaco.
Pop goes the weasel.
Are you ready?
Please.
Come on, you'll be good. You've had a week off. Easy.
No, I haven't. You've had a week off.
Question number one. It was on this day in 1965 that a British band were awarded MBEs at Buckingham Palace. Correct.
God, that was easy.
Yes.
Harold Wilson.
On this day in 1985, Whitney Houston went to number one on the US singles chart with which song? It was also a number one hit in the UK.
Saving All My Love for You.
Correct. And finally, on this day in 1996, the Spice Girls had their second UK number one single.
Oh, no, not again.
With which song? It started a two-week run at the top of the charts.
So Viva Forever?
No, the song included a harmonica solo played by my mate. Remember who I mentioned? Who played on Culture Club, Judd?
No.
He played on which Culture Club 1984 hit?
Karma Chameleon.
He certainly did, and he was a member of the Hideaways before that. He gave me my first job, actually, Judd did. At Chrysalis Records.
Yeah,
Informations.
Name dropping.
No, he lives in Grass, I think. We'll get him in.
Well, I don't know what the answer is anyway.
Oh, come on, Spice Girls, 1996.
You were here at Riviera Radio. Yeah, I don't think we were playing it.
I was with Ashley Table.
I think that was when the owner was making his plays record collection, wasn't it?
Lots of ABBA.
Lots of Dean Martin, I seem to remember as well. I haven't got a clue.
Oh, come on.
I'll play it anyway, just
say you'll
it
be there.
Well, that actually rings no bells at all.
It will. When you hear it, you go, ah, I remember. You'd be listening to it in Flashmans.
I can't find it now. Listening to it in Flashmans?
Wonder whether you were paying. You see, I can tell if I drop a certain word in there, it'd get your attention.
I don't think that anybody ever listens to anything in Flashmans. Oh, now you come to mention it.
You see?
Runs with Andrew Asprey.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online, this is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lyser has the top stories across the Riviera.
France has reached a new record in the number of COVID-19 cases, with 52,000 new cases recorded in the last 24 hours on Sunday. Over the last 7 days, 12,176 people have been hospitalised, of which 1,816 are currently in intensive care. The director of the Regional Health Agency for Paris describes the current health situation in the capital as accelerating each day as the second wave hits France, noting that 67% of intensive care beds are occupied for the Paris region. He also pointed out that half of those hospitalised are over 67 years old and the other half are under 67 years old, to which he adds that younger people are now also suffering from worse forms of the virus. Meanwhile, speaking to French media on Sunday, France's Minister of Transport claimed that public transport represents less than 1% of COVID-19 clusters in France. The French government extended the 9 p.m. 6 a.m. curfew to cover 46 million people across France, with both the Var and the Alpes-Maritimes regions being subjected to new curfew measures at the weekend. New restrictions were also introduced in Italy on Sunday, with restaurants being told to close at 6 p.m. Meanwhile, a recent study in France has shown that more than 4 out of 10 French people would be reluctant to be vaccinated for COVID-19 should one become available. Researchers found that 41% of French citizens indicated they would be reluctant or even refuse to be vaccinated. In the global study, only Poland and Russia expressed less willingness than the French to be vaccinated. In Monaco, 10 new cases of COVID-19 were declared on Sunday, bringing the total number of residents affected by the coronavirus in the Principality to 306. 8 patients are currently hospitalised and 54 people are being cared for by the Home Monitoring Service. France's Prime Minister Jean Castex is to meet with ministers this morning to discuss the economic consequences due to the second wave of COVID-19. The youth plan and professional retraining as well as employment are expected to be at the centre of discussions, which are to start at 9 a.m. this morning. In other news, Marseille has experienced a weekend of violence after 3 people were shot dead and a 4th was taken to hospital in a critical condition in a drug-related incident. All 4 were aged between 18 and 27 years old, and the youngest victim was an 18-year-old girl from Nice. The series of shootings, which took place between Friday evening and Sunday afternoon, are believed to have been connected to a dispute between 2 rival drug trafficking gangs in the north of the city. Meanwhile, police have opened an investigation after a 28-year-old man was shot and injured on Saturday night. The shooting occurred in Cavaillon in the Vaucluse shortly after 10 p.m. The man managed to take shelter in a nearby grocery store. The reason behind the shooting remains unknown. The incident happened in an area which, due to COVID-19, is currently under curfew from 9 p.m. The Armad team and the VAR have been placed on a yellow weather alert with the risk of heavy rain and strong winds. Both departments were placed on alert from 3 a.m. this morning, with the warning expected to be lifted by 11 a.m. in the VAR and 2 p.m. in the Outmarine team. Demonstrators have gathered in front of the town hall of Roquebrune-sur-Argens in the VAR in protest against an open day organised by the region's hunting federation, encouraging people to discover hunting in the region. Demonstrators criticised the way in which the event, which took place on Sunday in 13 different villages in the VAR, was presented as a family day out. French President Emmanuel Macron has reacted to an attack by his Turkish counterpart and recalled the French ambassador to Turkey. The move came after Turkey's head of state criticised Macron over his attitude towards Muslims. French government sources said the comments were unacceptable. In early October, Macron said there would be a clampdown on what he called Islamist separatism. He said that there was a risk it was taking over some Muslim communities in France. Finally, 22-year-old Laura Gauthier has been crowned Miss Côte d'Azur. The new Miss was chosen among 16 candidates who were in the running during a ceremony held in Mondulor-la-Napaule at the weekend. Niçoise now hopes to win the crown of Miss France in Le Puy de Fou on December the 12th.
Riviera Radio, sports news.
Why didn't you do it?
I'm too old.
Nothing.
Past it.
Formula One, Lewis Hamilton has broken Michael Schumacher's all-time record for victories after winning the Portugal Grand Prix at Cancer on Sunday. Hamilton's now notched up 92 Grand Prix wins and is closing in on a record equaling 7th Drivers' Championship. Valtteri Bottas finished 2nd at a distance on Sunday, with Max Verstappen in the Red Bull in 3rd. It wasn't a complete cakewalk for Hamilton as he lost the race lead at the start before fighting back to dominate the rest of the proceedings. The Mercedes star leads the Drivers' Championship with 256 points, with Bottas on 179 and Max Verstappen on 162. Nice seeing Lewis giving his dad a big hug at the end there.
Well done, Lewis.
Cycling Theo Gegenhardt has become only the second British rider to win the Giro d'Italia as he swept a victory on the final day in Milan. The 20-year-old won stage 20 on Saturday to share the overall lead with Jai Hindley before finishing 39 seconds ahead in Sunday's 15.7km time trial. It was quite a feat for the young Briton as he was down in 126th place after the first stage and only took on the role of Ineos Grenadiers team leader when Geraint Thomas pulled out with a fractured hip. He was still more than 3 minutes off the lead at the end of stage 15, but catapulted himself into contention with a stunning performance in the mountains. Football, there were three games in the English Premier League on Sunday. Here are the details from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, I'm Alistair Ross at BBC Sport, and we start with late drama in the final game of the Premier League weekend. Jamie Vardy coming off the bench to get the only goal as Leicester move into the top four thanks to a first away win at Arsenal in 47 years. 1-0 the final score, but Alexandre Lacazette had a first-half Arsenal goal disallowed as Granit Xhaka was ruled to be interfering with the keeper while offside. Arsenal boss Mikel Arteta disagreed with the decision.
It's not because he's behind the goalkeeper. You don't interfere in the goalkeeper at all. No. So it started with the VAR, but it was the same with the penalty against City, it was the same with the situation against Liverpool, but it's what we can do. We cannot change that. The referee made the decision, VAR made the decision, game is over, we lost 3 points.
League leaders Everton suffered their first defeat of the season. They went down 2-0 at Southampton. Captain James Ward-Prowse giving his side the lead. Che Adams adding a second shortly afterwards. Everton finished the game with 10 men after Lucas Digne was sent off. Manager Carlo Ancelotti was not happy.
The red card was a joke. I think that I don't know why. Maybe the fact that there were a lot of talk about Pickford, Richarlison against Liverpool affected the decision because everyone knows that it was not a red card. But we are going to appeal because I think to lose a player like Digne for this, for free game, is not fair.
Ancelotti referring to Jordan Pickford's tackle on Liverpool defender Virgil van Dijk in last week's Merseyside derby. Elsewhere, Newcastle managed to salvage a late point away at Wolves. Raul Jimenez opened the scoring with 10 minutes to go. Jacob Murphy equalising with a free kick. And for more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Everton still top of the league despite that defeat on goal difference from Liverpool. I think my fantasy league is just on.
Has it gone?
I mean, Everton, you know, Aston Villa, of course, they'd sort of won every game, so I thought, oh, I'll go for them this week, and they lost 3-0 home to Leeds. Oh dear.
And Chelsea and Man United, not so
super. A board draw, that was. Yeah.
Goalless draw.
Mm. Two games tonight. Brighton play West Brom and Burnley host Spurs. You were lucky to get away with a win against Sheffield United. In the Scottish Premiership on Sunday, Aberdeen and Celtic drew 3-3 and Rangers beat Livingston 2-0. Rangers are 6 points clear of Celtic at the top of the table and would have played a game more. Rugby Union, there were two games in the Guinness Pro 4 scene on Sunday. Ulster beat Dragons 40-17 and Connacht with 37-26 wins at Edinburgh. There's one game tonight, Munster play Cardiff Blues. And in golf, Patrick Cantlay of the United States has won the Zozo Championship in California. Cantlay started the final round with 3 shots behind Justin Thomas, but came back to post a 7-under par 65 to reach 23-under. Thomas ended second on 22-under, with Jon Rahm of Spain third on 19-under par. I'm playing golf on Friday with Ulf.
Are you? How is Ulf?
He's fine. I went up to the Riviera Seabay thing on Saturday afternoon. Loads of good bargains.
Was there?
Yeah, bought some very interesting stuff.
What did you get? Come on.
A few plates, some oil and vinegar sort of mixes.
Very nice.
A jug.
What did you get me? Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
I didn't know you wanted anything.
Well, it's always nice to be given something.
You see this bowl I got?
The bowl?
Yeah, it's like made by Seagull Design in Capri, and it's like a serving bowl, and it's got a lid on it.
Very nice.
With courgettes and courgette flares, so it's really kitsch.
Well, you just need the yacht to go with it now.
It was a bargain. I made him an offer he couldn't refuse. And
I bet you were getting the prices down.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Oyster, the world's finest blue water sailing yachts. Oyster Yachts, beyond expectation.
For coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Almaracy in the VAR, the general situation is a depression 1,005 millibars over the Gulf of Lyon moving east. Winds are southwesterly force 3 to 5. The sea is slight to moderate. Visibility is poor. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat 1,010 millibars. And the outlook for Tuesday, clear skies, force 1 to 3 variable winds, calm seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are southerly, force 5 to 7. The sea is moderate to rough, visibility is poor. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,009 millibars. And the outlook for Tuesday, showers, force 5 to 6 westerly winds, moderate seas and good visibility.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Oyster, the world's finest blue water sailing yachts. Oyster Yachts, beyond expectation.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Servibat, the home closing specialist in Nice and Villefranche.
Almaracy in the VAR on a yellow weather alert. So rain and thunderstorms this morning, clearing this afternoon with light to moderate southeasterly winds. Top temperatures 18 degrees, overnight lows 13 degrees on the coast, 10 degrees inland with clear skies. Tuesday and Wednesday mainly fine, highs of 17 to 18 degrees.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Servibat Nice and Villefranche. For 30 years, specialising in home closures, windows, blinds, shutters, reinforced glazing and doors. Feel good at home. Visit servibat06.fr.
And they had Emma the Sausage Lady's sausages.
Oh, nice.
And
oh,
beer,
lucky you.
Of course.
Well, if I hadn't have gone handing out poppies on Friday night, then I might have made it.
I didn't have any sausages, unfortunately.
Why not?
Well, because I just had a massive pizza, so I wasn't hungry anymore. If I'd known there was going to be sausages, I wouldn't have had the pizza.
No, next time.
Finally.
Next time. A study has claimed that women with deep voices are more likely to stray.
What? I thought it was men with deep voices.
Well, men as well, apparently. Yeah. Apparently, the low tones are linked to higher testosterone.
I don't know any women with deep voices, do you?
No. Which, according to scientists, fuels sexual desire. The voice data showed that on 931 adults asked if they cheated, the risk of straying went up significantly for each drop in pitch. And the study also showed that men with deeper voices also had more affairs.
Can you think of a woman with a deep voice?
Scarlett Johansson's got a deep voice.
Scarlett O. Johnson.
Is it Scarlett Johnson?
Scarlett Johansson.
I've added the O. Oh, I've been away too long. Yeah. Yes, she has. When she's in an interview, she's got a lovely voice.
Ooh.
I don't think she strays. So.
How do you know?
Well, I don't know.
She's got a deep voice.
I don't know.
You're up to date. The news is on the website, RivieraRadio.mc.